That is so true what they just sang. More than ever, we need the men of God to rise up and be what they are supposed to be. Today is a very special day. As we all know, it's Father's Day. And since I'm up here and have the opportunity, I do want to just thank the Lord for the father that he has given me. I don't take that for granted. I was talking to someone this morning. He was sharing me some memories from his father, and I just was thinking of what an opportunity. And I know we all come from different situations, and the Lord has put us all in different places, but I just am so thankful for my dad and his impact on my life, the example he has set. He is a man of character, a man of God, and he's a man of prayer and a man of the Word of God. And so it has such an impact on my life and the rest of our family, I know. And so I'm so grateful tonight to be able to call on my dad, and I'm so thankful for that. And I trust that I could be in some way a father like him, and I know that would be honoring to the Lord. So I'm just thankful for him. Tonight we're looking at a very important topic, the need for dads and the dads we need. The need for dads and the dads we need. On Father's Day, we need a message directed to the men who are fathers, because they have a tremendous responsibility. They carry tremendous weight, and often we can lose the gravity, as fathers can lose the gravity of their responsibility. And so tonight I trust in the minutes we have in some way to place that responsibility back on the parents, the dads, that they would see that great responsibility that they have to be men of God and to be the dads that the Bible wants you to be. So we're going to look at some important truths. There's no way in the time we have to really lay out all the qualities of a father that are laid out in the Bible, but we're going to look at some very key ones that are really the foundation of being a good father. And so we're going to look at the need for dads and the dads we need. You can turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. We're going to read that verse. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Of course, the story of Abraham here. And in a tremendous verse that gives insight to the life of Abraham. Of course, we know Abraham as a man of God was a man of great faith. And that's really a key to any man who's going to be a father. To be a good father, he's going to be a man of faith and someone who lives his life based on the Word of God, unwavering. But in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, it says, God said, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they, his children, shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." I trust the Lord could say that about you as a dad and your family, your kids, that God knows your children because you've trained them in such a way that they are going to continue down the path that you have trained them in, and they are going to accomplish all the things that God has planned for them. We find in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, that God has a plan for every person's life. Before they were even formed in the belly, God knew them and had a plan for them. And you know what? As parents and as a dad, your responsibility is to catch that vision that God has for your children and to place it before them so they see it and they continue down that path. And then God's plan for them is something that they take the rest of their life to fulfill. And I trust that God could look at the parents and the dads across this auditorium and say, "I know him, his children, the way he's led his children are going to fulfill the plan that I have for them because he was a man of God, a man of faith." Every human institution or organization is built and dependent upon leadership. Governments, companies, churches, organizations are all built and dependent upon leadership and the family. God's very plan for the foundation of society is built and dependent on leadership. All around us are homes that are failing because the leader has left. The leader has waved the flag of surrender. He has left his post as the guard of that home. He's left the post as the leader of that home. And we see it all amongst around us in the world. No dads. Dads who are out of the picture. And you know, I'm sure there's some here tonight who have a dad, or they have one, but he's out of the picture. And that's a sad thing, and I'm not trying to rub salt in a wound, but that's a terrible thing. Because we need men. The men are the foundation of the home. They're supposed to be the leaders. God has placed them there for a specific reason. And all around us, our society is crumbling because we don't have men who are standing up and leading their home. But just having a dad there isn't enough. There's a certain kind of dad that is needed today. In the Christian realm, all around us, we need men. And you look at many homes, we have dads. But they're not the dads we need. There's certain qualities that they're missing. And tonight we're going to look at not only the need for dads, but we are going to look at the dads we need, the kind of dads that are needed in this generation, the kind of dads that are needed in the generations to come. There's many young people here tonight. And you can take some of these qualities and say, you know what, I might not be married now, but there's coming a day when God's willing, I will be. Some of you, it's going to be a lot of prayers and a long shot for you to get married. But some of you guys, I'm sure you're hoping for that. And you're going to need to have these qualities in your life. And so every single person here, whether you're a grandpa, a dad, or not married yet, you know, you can apply these to your life. And I'm sure as women, you can take from this as well. So all around us, the society is crumbling because there's a failure with men. Men aren't leading like they're supposed to. Tonight, I realize I'm talking to saved dads. I trust every dad here is a saved dad. And they're, in many ways, you want to do what's right. But let's look at certain qualities of a dad and see if these are in your life and if you can apply these to your life tonight. The need for dads and the dads we need. First of all, we see the need for dads. God has established the home to work best with a mom and dad. I was reading a New York Times article, and it said, it was just basically backing up the whole concept that dads are needed in a home. And we live in a society where dads are almost superfluous. And they're unnecessary because the women have risen up and they, you know, we can do this on our own. We don't need dads. They're cowards anyway. So we don't need dads in the home. And the women, we live in a society that so much is driven by the women. In the homes, the women are the breadwinners. They do everything. They make all the decisions. But this article, it was surprising, New York Times article, was stating, regardless of all that, the statistics show homes without dads are way worse off. Listen to a couple of these statistics. Boys without a father are 2 to 3 times more likely to be in prison by the age of 30. Girls whose father has left by the age of 6 were 5 times more likely to be pregnant as teenagers. And even the world, to some degree, understands the reality that a home needs a mom and a dad. And boy, is that being undermined today. And it just gives greater reason for Christians to set the example. Because the world all around us is just completely losing their mind when it comes to this matter of the home and a mother and a father and the need for that. And what an opportunity to be a light and a testimony in this dark world for Christian families who are established on the Word of God that have a mom and dad there, both doing their part to be a testimony to this world all around us. God has made the dad the head of the home. We see that in Ephesians chapter 5. He says the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the man. And then in chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents. And you see this whole layout of the family that the father is supposed to be the head. Now, we know that the head of the church is Christ. Can you imagine a church operating without Christ as its head? There's many churches who are operating that way, and it's not working. It's run by humans. And you know what? An organization, a family that doesn't have its leader is bound to fail. Now, praise God for His grace. The spiritual realm is different because there are many homes where the father might not be doing what he's supposed to, but there's a mother who's doing what she's supposed to and fills in that gap, and God's grace is sufficient. And I'm not undermining that at all tonight. But God has made the dad the head of the home to bear the weight of the responsibility of that position and the responsibility of his children. And to take everything his children do and to bear it upon himself and be responsible for the direction and what goes on in that home. Dads are the human example of our Heavenly Father. And a child's view of God often is shaped by his view of his dad. Pastor mentioned that this morning. So often people have the wrong image of God because they think of their earthly father, and they get it all messed up because they're looking at an earthly dad who's failed in so many different ways. And then they think of their heavenly father in that same way. But the dad, the need for a dad who is living like Christ, a dad who is in that position, he recognizes his great responsibility to instill the fear of God in his children. The dad is a great part in instilling the fear of God in children through discipline, and that there's consequences for their actions. And you know, for me, preaching a message like this, I don't have years of ministry behind me to, you know, give illustrations and examples that I've personally seen, but the illustrations and examples of all these different points just abound. Any pastor who's been in the ministry will see families and situations where the father was aloof. He was out of the situation, wasn't being what he was supposed to, and the consequences of that. But dads help place the fear of God in children. Dads help place respect for women in a young man. And just a home where the father is treating his wife like he ought to, and instilling in those young men, this is how you respect women. You know, that's just lost today. And it's a sad thing, but that's the reality. Dads place so much in their children, and that helps lay a foundation for who God is. And the fear of God is the biggest one, I think. Because a child, you know, before they understand who God is, they realize, if they're disciplined properly, they realize there's someone bigger than them. Amen. And they yield to them. And they might not know who God is, but they know there's someone that they're supposed to be yielding to. And when they learn who it is that they're supposed to be yielding to, it's already been instilled in them. And so, don't underestimate, fathers, your importance in the home in instilling the fear of God. That's the greatest thing you could leave with your children, is the fear of God. Dads, set the direction of the home. Joshua 24, verse 15. This should be the theme verse of any father. Joshua 24, verse 15. And I love this story. Joshua stands before all these people and he says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You know, you put that in our context, and you know what that's going to look like? It's going to say, families, you know, we have friends or relatives and they're living a certain way and they're criticizing whoever, the Bible, the church, whoever. And they say, you know, we're not going to, that's crazy. A family like Joshua is going to stand up and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You can serve whoever you want. You can serve the God of money. You can serve the God of sports. You can serve whoever you want. But in this day, our family is going to serve the Lord. And every individual needs to come to that reality themselves. But especially the leaders of the homes. If they set the direction of that home and say, we're going to serve the Lord. This house is all about serving God. It's not about making money. This house isn't about living for sports and following all these sports things and being involved in all sorts of sporting events. That's not what this home is about. This home is about serving the Lord. The fear of God. And man, if we had homes and where dads were setting that direction and dedicated to serving God with their lives, our Christianity would be completely transformed. But we have dads who all around us are falling down. They're giving in to the world. There's young people come in influenced by other things and say, we want to do this with our lives. We want to do that. And we want to bring this into the home. And the dads just give in to it. And the dads need to stand up and set the direction, set the tone for their house. Also, so we see here that there is a great need for dads. All around us, we see families caving in, and the need for dads has just become so apparent. We could spend the next hour just giving the picture of where our homes are at and how much we need dads in this day who will stand up and do what is right. So, we find very clearly in the Bible that there is a great need for dads. A family is really rises and fall on leadership. And it is so critical in the home to have the dad there and doing what he's supposed to be doing. The second thing I want to look at is the dads we need, the kind of leaders we need. Yes, we need dads, but what kind of dads do we need? What kind of dads make a difference in the lives of their children? First of all, we need dads who fear the Lord. Their life is controlled by what God thinks. We have so many dads nowadays who are controlled by their wife, they're controlled by their families, they're controlled by their children, they're controlled by their friends, all sorts of other people, and the last person that controls what they're doing is God. Even Christian homes. You know, the one person wants to do this, the children want to do that, and the dad just says, okay, that's fine, we'll do that. And we need dads who are controlled by the fear of God, that's the number one motivator in their lives, the fear of God. Everything that is done in the home or outside of the home is done with an awareness of God and whether it pleases Him or not. Nothing is ever done because of the fear of man. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that's true in the home. And fathers, I encourage you tonight, challenge you to live by the fear of God, not the fear of man. The fear of man listens to what everyone else is saying and makes decisions based on that. The fear of God makes decisions based solely on what God thinks. And more than ever, we need fathers who make decisions based on that. You know, Joshua, when he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. He said, you can be serving the God of the Amorites. You can be serving the gods that your fathers served. You can be doing it all around us, but it doesn't matter. We're fearing the Lord. We're serving the Lord. And he had made up his mind. The dads we need dads who fear the Lord. Their number one thing is they fear God. They wake up in the morning and they thinking about God. What does God want for my family? What is my family doing that doesn't please God? And his whole drive and focus of life and as he leads his family is driven by the fear of God and a pleasing, want a desire to please God. Is that you tonight here, Dad? The fear of God rules in your home and guides your decisions. Every decision you make, whatever it is, your job, things you do on with your family, is controlled by the fear of God and says, I want to please God. I want to have a healthy reverence and I want to instill that into my kids. And the way you do that, you know, your kids know if you fear God. The second kind of dads we need are dads who are filled with the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Dads who are filled with the Holy Spirit. The idea there is to be controlled under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The self isn't in control. The Holy Spirit's in control. And you know what? A home, you can sense when a home is, when the father is under the control of the Holy Spirit. When he's yielding and listening to the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit are there. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is really the climax, and it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on, and it shows what this idea of being filled with the Spirit looks like in several different contexts. It shows what it looks like in a marriage relationship. It shows what it looks like in a home, a father and a wife, a husband and a wife, and the children. You see that in chapter 6. And then it shows what it looks like with an employer and an employee relationship. And so here we see very clearly that where a husband ought to be filled with the Spirit. And that is that adds the sweetness to the home when the Spirit of God is there. Where the dad loves, that's the fruit of the Spirit, where he loves his children and his wife like he ought to. Where dad's life is filled with the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Dads who are the same at home and as they are everywhere else. That's someone who's filled with the Spirit. And dads, it ought to be your daily desire. Lord, am I filled with your Spirit? Fill me today. Because, friends, fathers, if you're not living filled with the Spirit, The flesh is in control. And that's going to ruin your family. You can't afford a day not filled with the Spirit. You can't afford an hour or an encounter with your wife or an encounter with your kids not filled with the Spirit. It is a command, and we must have it in the home. Dads who don't provoke their children to wrath. We see that here in Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but nurture them up in the admonition and the fear of the Lord. This is the kind of dad we need. Fathers who are filled with the Spirit, who take it seriously, that their life emanates with Christ, and that He is seen. And you know what? You go into a home where the father has the fear of God, and every decision is based on that, and he's filled with the Spirit. You know, the kids are going to get a hold of that. It's going to make a huge impact on the kids. But when mom and dad are always fighting, when mom and dad are in the flesh, and they make decisions based on the flesh, the kids see it. And it makes a big impact on the kids. So we need dads who fear the Lord. We need dads who are filled with the Spirit. Thirdly, we need dads who have a vision for their children. Dads who have a vision for their children. Dads who feel the weight and responsibility of training these children and aiming them as arrows for the Lord. You know, I'm sure, I'm not there, but I'm sure as a parent you can have, you might have a number of kids, and as you get years down the road, you can kind of lose, through the busyness of life, you can kind of lose the focus of why you have these kids. And they might be able to get frustrated, and there might be times where you're frustrated with them, and they're causing problems, and you think this is just unbelievable how much work this is, or whatever. You can come to those situations. But don't lose the reality that God has given you these children. God has given them for a specific reason in your life. Do you feel the weight and responsibility that you have in aiming your children? God has given to you them to aim them to go out into the Lord's work. Dads must realize that God gave them children for a reason. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Why don't you turn there? Jeremiah chapter 1. Verse 5. This has always been a helpful verse to me. Sometimes I get up to preach and I think I don't have anything to give. And I'm reminded that before I was formed in the belly, the Lord knew me and called me to preach. And it reminds me, you know what? The Lord has enabled me. He's put me up here, and I certainly don't have anything to give but what the Lord gives me. And so, but in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, it says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Young people that are here, do you sense the care of God for your life in that verse? Before he even knew you, before you were informed in the belly, God knew you. There's young people out here right now who think you have no purpose in life other than your purpose. And you're living to fulfill your purpose, and that purpose isn't very long-lasting. You're just living whatever, money or whatever could be. But God has a purpose for your life. And you know what? Young people who don't have God's purpose for their life soon find that their purpose for life is empty. And you can live to fulfill that purpose. You can live to fulfill that your desires, but you're going to find out very soon that it's not long-lasting. You're going to find out it's empty, and that you need to get on God's purpose for your life. Each person here tonight, whoever you are, however old you are, God has a specific plan, purpose for your life, and He had it before you even formed in the belly. I want to encourage each young person here tonight to really get a hold of that, that God has a plan for your life. Don't miss out on the wonderful privilege that God has for your life. But fathers need to realize that, you know what, God has a plan for my children. And just like God has a plan for your children, the devil has a plan for your children. And he is seeking his plans to get you off your children off of God's plan. That's exactly what the devil, he might not get them into some gross sin, but if he can get them out of God's plan for their life, he's accomplished something for his own sake. And so parents, you need to realize you're fighting a spiritual battle for your kids. God has a vision for them. He has a plan for them. And you need to find that vision. for them and God's plan for your children. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we find the story of John the Baptist and his birth. And there are some remarkable things that we can learn from his parents, Zacharias. I'm going to point them out. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And this has to do with the fathers getting a vision for your children and realizing God has a vision for your children. God has a plan for them. And the devil has a plan. He's trying to get them off of your plan. So parents, dads especially, you've got to realize you're in a spiritual battle with the devil who wants to win in your home and get the victory. So look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no children because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And it goes on to tell of the birth of Jeremiah and that God was going to give them, birth of John the Baptist, and God was going to give them a child. But there's a couple things that I want to point out here. Notice in verse 6 that his parents were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And then it goes on and says how they were involved in the ministry of the temple. And they were there 10, 11 having a prayer meeting. And yes, these were their regular times of worship and all that. But you know what? This gives us very important truth to the parents here tonight. If you're going to get a vision for your children, God's vision for your children, it's going to come in a certain atmosphere. That atmosphere is the place where God is. It's the place where God's Spirit has freedom, where His Spirit is working and communicating, and you have that sweet communion with the Holy Spirit. And friends, these people were walking in all the commandments of God, and they were blameless. And you know what? That's the kind of person God was looking for to bring John the Baptist, a preacher of righteousness. And you know what? This is a very important thing to us because it shows us that these were the parents. This is what these parents were like, walking in all the commandments of the Lord, and they were involved in ministry. And you know what, friends? Parents, dads, if you're going to get a vision for your children, it's going to come when you're actively involved in ministry, when you're serving the Lord. Don't expect to be sitting at home watching the Packer game on a Sunday night and expect to get a vision for your children. You might get a vision, hey, they could be a great football player. But that's not God's plan. The way you get God's vision and God's plan for your own life or for your children's life is by being directly involved in ministry in a place where the Spirit of God is working and fulfilling and obeying and walking in God's commandments blameless. That's the environment and the atmosphere. And here we see that the angel of the Lord comes and appears to them and tells them, you're going to have a son and this is what he's going to do with his life. And you know what, parents, you know, God may not lay out specifically like this what he has for your children. But I guarantee you get alone with God and you serve God and God is going to give you a vision. He's going to give you a passion for what He wants to do with your children. We need dads who develop and promote an atmosphere in which their children can hear God's voice. That's what this is about. They were obeying the commandments of the Lord. They were blameless in that. And they were serving the Lord. They were involved in the things of the temple and worship of the Lord. And that's dads, that's what your family needs. Your family needs a dad who understands that he needs to get a vision for his children. He needs to get God's vision for his children. And so in order to do that, he's going to be obeying the Word of God and blameless in that. And then he is going to be involved in the ministry of the church. He's going to be in that environment and atmosphere where the Spirit of God can speak to his children. I'm so glad in the year 2005, it was a Monday night of revival meetings that my parents brought us to church on revival meetings. Because that was the night I heard God's call to the ministry. My parents could have said, work is the next day, school's the next day. We just came through the holidays. It was early January. It's cold. They could have given all sorts of excuses, but they said, we need to be in the place where God's speaking. And they brought us here. And that night I heard the call to preach. And I'm so thankful on a Monday night we didn't skip church. And you know, that's the attitude parents need to have. I need to do whatever it takes to get my kids in an atmosphere, in an environment where they can hear the Spirit of God speaking. And you know what? It's going to take sacrifice times at times. So many parents are not willing to sacrifice that their children can gain spiritually. You know, you go out into the world and you're going to find a lot of worldly parents, unsaved, you know, who have a vision for their children. You're going to find parents who spend big dollars to put their kids through little leagues all growing up because they have the hope and the aspiration that that child will be a major league baseball player or something. And they have a vision for their children. I mean, I remember a family that I knew who over the course of one summer went to 90 baseball, little league baseball games. 90. And it's not cheap to be involved in those things and have several kids involved in it. But friends, they had a vision for their children. And it's so terrible that Christian parents have no vision many times for their children, or they have the wrong vision. They get this idea of my children, you know, I want to do that, want them to do something great with their life, but they forget about getting them to serve God with their life and aiming them for the Lord's work. And so we look out into the world, and the world has a vision for their children, but Christian parents, more than anyone else, should have a vision for their children. I remember hearing about Bob Jones Sr. back when Bob Jones was at college, and he walked into the freshman preacher boys class right at the beginning of the year. He looked at that group of freshman preachers in the preacher boys class, and he says, I don't think there's been a sorrier bunch of preacher boys that have come through this college. They, you know, and he went on about how how terrible they look, and he says, but I've got good news for you. God is hard up for these days, and he's looking for preachers who will yield themselves to him, and he'll use you, whoever you are. And you know what? One of the people sitting there was Dr. Ed Nelson. And the reality is, if parents aim their children for the Lord's work, don't be surprised if they end up in the Lord's work. Amen. And parents, you know, I think there's really a wrong mindset. Many times we have this mindset, you know what, we're just going to be passive. And we're going to let our kids do whatever they want. Parents, don't do that. As Christian parents, you have the greatest responsibility to aim those kids for the Lord's work. And if God doesn't want them in there, he'll close the door. Christian young people have the wrong mindset so many times. They say, I'm going to pursue my own dreams, and if God wants me in the ministry, he'll close the door. It doesn't work that way. We need to be aiming for the high calling of God, the ministry. And if God doesn't want us in the ministry, he'll close the door. That ought to be every Christian young man's heart and desire is, Lord, I would love to be in ministry serving you full time. And if you don't want me, close the door. And I'm not saying that every young person is called into full time Christian work. But we do often have the wrong mindset and almost a critical spirit towards people who are going into the Lord's work. And I don't want to push my young people that way. And really, friends, that's not the right mindset. We ought to say, Lord, if you're so gracious, please put my children in the ministry. And if you don't want them in there, I understand. But it would be my deepest joy and desire to see them going into the ministry. That's the attitude Christian parents ought to have. Because the people out in the world, they're not aiming their children for the Lord's work. The people out on the ball fields on Wednesday nights cheering on their little league, they're not planning their kids to go into full-time work. We need Christian parents who says, I want my kids to go into the service of the King. We need dads who develop and promote an atmosphere in the home where they can hear the voice of God. You know, we put water filters on our home to keep the contaminants out of the house. And the dad is the filter in the home, and he keeps the house clean, spiritually speaking. That both parents really have a responsibility in that. But the dads ultimately have that responsibility. They're the filter. They keep what they keep the they guard that home. That's their castle. They keep the enemy out in any possible way that the enemy can get in and distract his kids and foil the plans of God in that home. He's going to guard against it. And he's going to be vigilant, realizing the devil as a roaring lion is looking to destroy homes. He's looking to destroy families and young people and get them out of God's plan. And dads, you need to be willing to stand up and fight and keep your home a place where the voice of God can be heard, where it's not drowned out by all these other things that could possibly do it. We need to clear the air and fill it with the Word of God and with things that promote an atmosphere in which the Word of God can be heard, or the voice of God can be heard. We need dads who sacrifice to put their children in that atmosphere. You know, young people out in the world will sacrifice to send them to football camp and soccer camps all throughout the summer, but then Christian parents can hardly sacrifice to send their kids to a week of Christian camp or a week of preaching all week. We need to be willing to sacrifice for our young people so they can be in that place. And dads, along with keeping that atmosphere, you need to be one who guards and keeps distractions from their kids. I know growing up, and this isn't necessarily wrong, but I know for myself own sake that if I would have been involved in sports, I really think that would have stole my heart. Because I love sports. And I loved following sports. And if I would have been involved in it on a weekly basis, I really think that would have stolen my heart. And I think it can, you know, it's just, parents have to guard against letting things that would steal their kids' heart. If you sense something that they're involved in is stealing their heart for God, you ought to be willing to pull them out of that. Maybe it isn't wrong, but if it's stealing their heart, you need to sense that and guard against that. So, We need dads who fear the Lord. We need dads who are filled with the Spirit. We need dads who have a vision for their children. We need dads who develop and promote an atmosphere in which their children can hear the voice of God. We fifthly need dads who are soul winners. We need dads who recognize that he that winneth souls is wise. And the greatest thing you can pass off to your children is that they are soul winners. And they've learned it from you. You know, dads, you go out with your children, they ought to see you talking to lost people. They ought to see you doing specific things just for the sake of giving the gospel, inviting a neighbor over for the sake of the gospel. Your kids ought to know that this home is about souls. And we have lost souls in here because we're trying to give them the gospel. And we sacrifice to win souls for Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. I remember growing up and going out soul winning with my dad. And I'm so thankful for that because it instilled in me at an early age a heart for souls. And I trust I can do that with my children. The sixth thing is, and the last thing is, we need dads who pray. Dads who pray. And these are really just touching on a few of the major things that we need dads today. The kind of dads we need. Men who pray. Your children ought to see you on your knees. They ought to know that dad's up early. Meeting with God. What a stability and a direction and an atmosphere that produces in a home when the kids know that dad spends time with God. You know, everything else in the world could be going crazy, but we know dad is meeting with God. And he spends time with God. And it's going to be okay because dad spends time with God. That ought to be the picture when your children, when you're past and long gone, your children ought to think back and remember a dad who was on his knees. And they might not see you every morning, but they can tell by your life and the way you live that you've been on your knees. You've been with Jesus. This church, the families represented here, represent, I believe, what could be a great army that goes forth with the gospel around the world. And God has a great plan for each individual here, each young person here, no matter how old you are. Maybe for a while you've been going your own direction. And you're realizing God has a plan for your life. Whatever it is, this, I believe, just represented here in this church, there's enough young people who could change the world. And there's no greater way to change the world than by going out with the power of God and the gospel. And we need dads, we need parents who are willing to step up to the plate and be the dads we need. The dad who is willing to spend time with the Word of God, spend time praying, spending time soul winning. You know, my dad isn't perfect, and I want to honor him, but he, for ever since I could remember, he was always at men's prayer. Do you think that made a difference in our lives? It absolutely does. And dads, there's a simple way that you can make a huge impact on your children. Just coming to men's prayer. Living a life of prayer. Those are the kinds of dads we need. Soul winners. Men filled with the Spirit of God. Men who are humble, who have a vision for their children, who develop an atmosphere in their home where their children can hear the voice of God. Men who are filled with the Spirit, and men who fear the Lord. For all the fathers out here tonight, no matter how old your children are, do these things depict you? Are these in your life? These need to be in your life. These are just the basics that ought to be in our lives. And we have to realize the great responsibility that God has given to us. If you have, the Lord has given you children, you have a tremendous responsibility. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't have children or whatever, there are applications that you can take from this that you can apply to your life and have an impact on other people. But especially for dads here tonight with children, do you realize the great responsibility you have? Not just to be a present dad, but to be a dad who the Bible says is a real kind of dad. The dads we need in this day and age. And you know what? It would be an exciting thing to see 20 years down the road, the homes where the dad says, you know what, I'm going to be the kind of dad I need to be. I'm going to step up to the plate. I'm going to guard this home. I'm going to lead this home based on the fear of God and the Word of God. And you create this atmosphere in the home where God is welcome. He's not shunned or pushed away. You want Him there. And you develop that atmosphere. That's the kind of dads we need. The Bible is replete with stories and examples of fathers who did their job and fathers who didn't do their job. Fathers who failed in some way to pass on to their children what they ought to be. And then there's examples of fathers who passed on to the next generation the truth, like Abraham. And so tonight, fathers, you're writing the next page in your family's book. What is it going to be? What is the future of your home, the future of your children? There are many decisions based on just simple truth that we've heard tonight that may need to be made in your life. But we need a serious approach to the kind of dads that we're going to be in this day and age. And I trust that the Spirit of God would show you as a dad some important things that you need to put into your life. And I trust that you will listen to the voice of God as He's spoken to you tonight. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do thank You for this day where we can remember our fathers. And Lord, I just pray tonight for each father that's here has a great responsibility. Lord, they're going to stand before You someday and give an account for their children, for what they allowed in their home. And Lord, I pray that You would help that responsibility, that weight, to be felt tonight, and that parents, that dads especially, would pick up the mantle, that they would be the fathers that they ought to be, that they would take back their homes, the areas in their home that they've given over to the devil, that they would take it back. And Lord, that they would be the dads that they need to be, filled with the Spirit, filled with the fear of God, and all these other different things. Lord, I pray that You'd work in hearts in a specific way. With heads bowed, eyes closed, a simple question to the fathers here tonight. How many of you would say, God has shown me some specific areas tonight that I have failed in? And with God's help, I'm changing those. How many of you would just by an uplifted hand would say, God has been gracious tonight. He showed me some key things. in my life. Amen. Number of different hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, Lord, you've seen the hands, and I'm sure there's other people here, Lord, that have you've worked in their hearts. I pray that you would help there to be a clear response to the truth, and that, Lord, things would change in homes, even tonight. That there'd be clear changes in homes, Lord, and I could have given a lot more specifics, Lord, but you're working, I trust, and specifically in hearts, and I ask that you would do a special work in the hearts of the fathers here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.